Thank you for listening to this message preached at Life Changes Church in Cape Town, South Africa. Our prayer is that as you listen to this inspiring message, your life will be transformed to love Jesus more passionately and equipped to do His will more fervently.
If you could please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 we're going to be reading. But while you're turning there with me in your Bibles, I really want to just say something this morning to you that I do believe that we as a church are strategically placed by God for amazing things to happen as we begin to tuck into Him in greater measures and ways. You know, there's the walking alongside Him, but then there's a tucking in behind Him and the slipstreaming with Him for Him to draw us into the great adventures that He has for us into the future. We've been following and talking about Jesus and the theme of who He is, the glory, the wonder, the splendor, the majesty of who He is, equally what He's called us to do. Last week we spoke about how Jesus came not to bring and make just converts or believers, but disciples. And we journeyed together of what does a disciple look like. Prior to that, we had a look at Jesus being the author of our faith, the perfecter of our faith. So we've been looking at different aspects and angles. But this morning, I'm going to be looking at Jesus being our wonderful counselor. Jesus Christ being our wonderful counselor. And I'd like to read this portion of scripture to you in Isaiah chapter 9 from verse 6 to 7. Verse 6 reads, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end." To me, it's such a profoundly powerful portion of Scripture that often is only read at Christmas time, over the festive season, and the wonderful preachers from that. But this morning, I'm going to focus in on that, and I'll tell you why. Because we live in a world where so many people are plagued with all sorts of emotional fears and phobias and disorders. And I believe Jesus wants to reveal Himself as the mighty deliverer from all of our fears and phobias, etc., 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 that we can begin to walk in greater freedom and liberty, and that freedom and liberty is contagious. I want to say to you this morning, Jesus wants to set us free on the inside and the outside, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. He wants to bring freedom. That's why He is called the Wonderful Counselor. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 to 3, Isaiah prophesying over the Messiah, he says, "The spirit of counsel and of power will rest on Him." The spirit of counsel and power. See, it's His power that is released to help people break out of the things that hold them in bondage. Can I say there are so many different fears and phobias? You type the word phobia, you'll be amazed at what pops up. You will be shocked and horrified. Our dear friends, Keith and Sharon, that are our neighbors, they've just been on a 2-week cruise in Europe. They went to Venice and Rome and Croatia, etc. And it was just so wonderful. I went over on the Tuesday night to say, how's it? And to welcome them back and just to hear some of the cool stories. And one of the things I said, hey guys, I know before you left, you were exhausted. Do you feel well rested? And I said, no, Wally, we're still tired. I said, 2 weeks on a boat, cruising, chilling, on the deck, martinis and whatever else. Sorry, I don't know, I'm just... Virgin cocktails. Cappuccinos. And he said, no, Wally, you won't believe it. We had FOMO. I said, what is that? FOMO. He says, no, it's like a phobia. I said, what's a phobia? And he explained it to me, fear of missing out. So every single day when the boat docked in Rome, after breakfast, they put their tackies on and they charged out into Rome to look at, to see, and to conquer Rome with everything they could. Arrived back at the boat, exhausted, had dinner, to bed, up the next morning, not to get FOMO. I laughed all the way home. I laughed in bed. But that's one of the funny ones, but there's others that are very much more serious ones. And the Lord wants to set us free from all of our fears of spiders and heights and this and that, whatever else have you, that we can enjoy the freedom and the liberty that Jesus wants to give us. Now, just to define counseling, it's to advise, to deliberate, to guide, to resolve, to consult, to give purpose, and then the word to advertise. And that struck me and stumped me for a couple of days, but then I'll explain that to you in a little bit later. It's to advise, to deliberate, to guide, to resolve, to consult, to give purpose, etc., etc. Now, can I say to you, so often people think counseling is this. You sit and you listen to a person, and then you go, oh, shame. How terrible. How could they? As if you've got a life sentence and you die. And they've only heard one side. And often people think counseling is commiserating together with them and joining a pity party. No, it's far more than that. It's far more than that. Now, my wife Shirley is a specialist counselor. When I see Shirley counsel, I just sit back, zip up, because I've got nothing to say in comparison when the gift flows strongly through Shirley. Shirley's also got a team of people that specialize in different areas of counseling, whether it's trauma, or whether it's been sexual abuse or violence, whatever it is. There's so many different facets of counseling. But Shirley's got a gift, and I just realize when the gift flows, Wally, the best thing you can do is to keep quiet. And her team as well. Now, I've got three psychologist friends. Eugene's not here, but he's an industrial psychologist. I've got... There's a Cornell Pretorius who's out in Somerset West. He's also a psychologist. And Rion Krauss, who's in this area, he's a clinical psychologist. And I engage with them often, interact and chat and share. And can you tell them more and more they talk to me? They say, Wally, the problems and the disorders are on the increase. But one thing we found is as we present biblical truths to people and the scriptures to them and people believe it and embrace it, there is a freedom and a liberty that comes to them that all the Floyd stuff cannot do. I want to say to you this morning that you don't have to be stuck in your problems when you encounter Jesus as the wonderful counselor. Because human secular psychology disables you, and they will sit down together with you and hear you out, and then they say, we need a schedule next week again, and then they'll give you a 500 rand invoice account, and then you've got to come back and come. What they often do is create a codependency that is unhelpful, where biblical counsel is attaching people to Jesus, the true liberator and the one who sets free, that he enables you and empowers you to make something of your life. Very important to understand that. Now, it's an interesting thing, is many people have got their own dentists, doctors, plumbers, mechanics, and we all can refer and recommend certain things. And I remember now we're moving to an age where it's vogue and in to have your own psychologist. I remember speaking to a friend, he says, oh, I've had such a down day, I'm going to go visit my psychologist. And I sort of, psychologist? This was at the gym. My psychologist. I said, you mean shrink? And he said, well, that's if you want to call it, it's a shrink. In my day and age, that's what they were called. And generally, you went to a shrink when you had some serious problems. Do you even know that term, shrink? And I remember just reflecting on that. And if I could put a little couch, and often we think of the word shrink, and you've got a person sitting on a couch just talking to you. And I just said, Lord Jesus, are you our heavenly shrink? And I just sensed the Lord say, no, I'm not the church's heavenly shrink. I'm the church's heavenly enlarge. I want to say that again. Jesus is not the church's heavenly shrink. He's the church's heavenly enlarge. Can I say to you this morning, biblical counsel, the Holy Spirit, the Father, His counsel will enlarge you. His counsel will enlarge you. Now, if you look through the scriptures, and I've got a number there, Jesus wants to take you off the couch to an overcoming throne in your life. Human secular counseling will keep you on the couch. Jesus will meet you at the couch, but He wants to take you to His overcoming throne that you can have victory and move forward in your walk with Him. He doesn't want you stuck there. Now, there's a number of interesting scriptures with reference to enlarge, and I just want to mention a number of them. In Exodus 32, verse 24, remember when God promised Israel the promised land? What did God say to them? He said, you're going to go in and inhabit the land, and I'm going to enlarge your territory. God is an enlarger. He wants to enlarge your territory, not shrink it. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9, you all know the story of Jabez. What was his prayer? Oh Lord, that you would bless me and that you would enlarge my territory. How many of you prayed Jabez's prayer? The enlarging, that's what God wants to do. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, Jesus, the Counselor, He wants to enlarge you. And we're all very familiar with Isaiah 54, verse 2. Stretch out, enlarge the tent of your dwelling. Can I say, often there's too many Christians living in a one-man tent. You've been shrunk by your problems into a one-man tent. Jesus, the wonderful Counselor, wants your tent to become two-man, three-man, ten-man, 50-man, 100-man, 1,000-man. He wants your influence to be enlarged. But we need to begin to realize that and see that. God is into enlargement. Jesus wants to counsel you. He wants to guide you into greatness and into purpose. I want to say that again because it's so important. He wants to counsel you into greatness and into purpose. He doesn't want to just talk to you about the problem. He wants the two of you to talk to the problem. It's a huge difference. Often counselors are talking about the problem. Jesus, the wonderful counselor, says, together talk to the problem and let the mountain be removed. And if the mountain doesn't move, Jesus would say to you, let's climb the mountain together. Let's climb the mountain together. You can follow that theme through Scripture. There are so many mountaineers in the Bible that would help us go up in Him. Now, can I say to you this morning, I'm not belittling any of the challenges that we all personally face, and we all face numerous. But can I say this morning, don't settle that it's your problem for the rest of your life and live on the couch when Jesus, the wonderful Counselor, is saying, come to my throne and let me help you overcome it. That's when you overcome, that's when your life becomes an advert for Him being the wonderful Counselor. When you overcome that situation, then your life becomes an advert for Him being the wonderful Counselor. Now, just a few thoughts. How can we begin to see Jesus as this wonderful Counselor? Firstly, He's been there, done it, and got the t-shirt. He's a wonderful Counselor because He has done that. He's been there. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 18, speaks about Jesus coming in human form. He came as God, as a man. Therefore, He knows, He understands, He can feel, He knows what you're going through. But He says, I've been there, I've done it, but you don't have to stay there. Let me help you move through it. And through it, you're going to become more like me. So often, it's stuck at the same problem. Can I say to you this morning, He knows the way out. He wants to help you through it. Can I say to you people that God doesn't want us going around and round and round the mountain. He wants us to climb the mountain. He doesn't want us to talk about the mountain. He wants us to talk to the mountain. He is wonderful because He fully understands. He knows the deepest cry, the deepest pain, the greatest hurt. He knows everything. We've got to come to the place of starting off at the couch, but then moving to the throne. Secondly, He is wonderful because He helps us to see how mighty God is in comparison to your issue. Remember, He's called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Can I say the devil often, he gives you a magnifying glass and says, look at your problem. And he makes your problem look so huge, so enormous, compared to God. Can I say Jesus is a wonderful counselor, says, yes, you've got an issue, but let me show you how mighty God is. And when you compare your problem to God, you think, what was I fussing about? What was I stressing about? Why was I so anxious? Why was I so downcast? And so often the enemy will take our focus off Him onto the problem. Jesus is our wonderful counselor, wants to help you see how mighty God is. You know that scripture, Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, with reference to the Nephilim, those were the giants, the descendants from where Goliath came. And they were in the promised land, but God said, go in and take it. I will drive them out. And remember, they went in and they said, whoa, we just like grasshoppers. Whoa is us. Whoa is that. What happened? They lost sight of the mighty God who gave them the promise, who said, go in and take possession of the land. And they thought they were grasshoppers. Remember David and Goliath. Can I say you need to remind yourself of that story? Can I say to you, don't let the size of your outward problem be a deterrent or discourage you. It's not the outside size that counts, it's the inside faith that will make a difference. It's the inside faith that will speak to mountains and climb mountains. Can I remind you of 1 John chapter 4, verse 4? It says, little children, you are of God and have overcome. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The greater one, the mightier one, lives on the inside of you. You might say, well, Wally, I'm surrounded by mountains. Can I say, I want to remind you what God said to David. Lift up your eyes above the hills and the mountains. To the mighty one that created all things. I want to remind you that He's wonderful because He is helping us and you know His and your everlasting Father. Can I say, most of our internal issues and challenges can be related to a father problem. A father issue, a father that was either absent or abusive or authoritarian. Can I say that when we begin to make peace with our earthly father and embrace our heavenly Father, He gives us our spiritual ID, our identity and our destiny. Can I say to you this morning, as you face difficulties and challenges, begin to reach out and embrace the everlasting Father. Begin to embrace your Father. And that will bring such stability and a strength and a security to you that you will tackle anything because you know your Father's on your side. It's interesting that when Jesus started talking to His disciples about leaving, they were traumatized. What was Philip's response? Show us the Father. Can I say, when you're going through difficulties and challenges, you want another Father. You want somebody that's strong and big to stand to help. Can I say, no matter what you go through, the everlasting Father is there to help you through it. John 20, verse 17, one of my favorite. Before Jesus ascended, He told the Mary and disciples, I'm ascending to my God and to your God, to my Father and to your Father. Can I say to you this morning, embrace the everlasting Father. The Father knows best. Jesus is wonderful in helping you and helping bring peace where there is a war within. Remember, it calls Him Prince of Peace? Often a person that has challenges and difficulties, there's an internal war. And you're overcome when you come to the place of surrender to His Lordship. Biblical surrender is not raising the white flag and throwing in the towel. Biblical surrender is yielding and submitting to do His will above your will. And when you do that, there's a peace that will invade your heart and life. When you begin to say, Lord, it's not my way, but it's your way. That's how I want to live my life. I want to live a life of surrender to do your will. Can I say to you, peace does not come when you sweep issues under the carpet and pretend it's all fine and well. Can I say, peace comes when you take the whole orb of your life and give it to Him and say, Lord, I want to do it your way. I remember praying for a person the one time, and they were struggling in and out of difficulties and challenges. And I said, Lord, I don't know, I need some wisdom and help. And I had this crazy thought come to mind. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty fell, couldn't put all the pieces together again, or however that nursery rhyme went. Something like that. I said, I've got this crazy thing. But one thing I do know is Jesus wants you to give Him all the pieces and He'll put you together again. Can I say to you is when you give Him all the pieces, He can do something. But if you hold a piece, you won't be put together again. Or you'll have difficulties in your struggle. Can I say peace, the Prince of Peace comes when you give Him all the pieces and come to the place of surrender to Him. Fifthly, as peace comes when there's the increase of His government where there is no end. And if I could say to you in summary, if you look at the world's governments, there's either dictators or they're voted in. And you and I have been given a free will by God. And we vote His rule into our lives by saying yes to Him. I want to say that again. If you want His government, His rule in your life, you've got to vote yes. There's too many people that are abstaining from saying yes, but what is help? And they wonder why there's anarchy, and they wonder why there's chaos in their life, because they need His government, His rule. But you need to say yes to Him. Not a half-hearted one, a wholehearted one. And the yes is, God, I want to do it your way. Now, can I say to you this morning, so many people say, oh, can't Jesus just come in and sort it all out one shot? We're all looking for quick fixes. We're all looking for that special magic plaster that's going to fix and sort things out. That placebo tablet that's going to just sort all the issues out. Can I say, that's very rare. Most of our challenges are a journey and a process that we need to walk through. Because He wants to walk with us, and in the walking with us, He makes us more like Him. And that's the part we often don't like. There is one recorded incident where it happened just like that, and I loved it. It's Mark chapter 5, verse 1 and 20. The madman of the Gadareans. Now, he was a loony of loonies. Please read in between the lines. He was seriously, if you want to use the word, cooked. It was loopy. It was over the top. People had tried to chain him. He broke all the chains. The Bible says he cut himself. In other words, he was suicidal. He ran around naked with no clothes on. He had passion and lust out of control. Nobody knew what to do with him. In fact, he lived in the tombs, the graveyard. It was a hectic dude. You don't want to go near him. He was like put out there. If you read, you can just see his life was his mind, his emotions, everything. He was just couldn't get lower. Jesus comes and lands on the shore, and all of a sudden, Jesus, the wonderful counselor, meets the madman of the Gadareans, had a legion of demons. Cast them out. Cast them out. When there's a herd of pigs, the pigs, as you know, they committed suicide. They tried to kill the guy, couldn't, but they took their own lives, jumped off the edge of a cliff. But it's interesting, then all the people came and said, whoa, what's happened? It says, it's interesting, you read it. It says he was dressed and in his right mind. So Jesus can do it. But now here's the beautiful thing. This madman, now that was sane, wanted to follow Jesus. But Jesus said, no, I want you to go back to your home and tell them the great things that the Lord has done for you. Now remember, I spoke of biblical counsel always is enlarging. He went home, but he didn't only go home. The Bible says that he went to the Decapolis. and told everybody in the Decapolis the great things that the Lord has done. You know what the Decapolis is? It's 10 large cities in Jordan, Israel, and Syria, where he went and told them what Jesus had done for him. From a maniac to an evangelist in a moment. That's what Jesus' wonderful counselor can do for somebody. And I began to geographically look up where those 10 towns were. Some of them are unpronounceable, but one in particular caught my attention in Syria today, where there is the war currently going on. That town had heard the gospel through the madman of the Gadareans. I stood back and I thought, wow, Jesus, what a wonderful counselor. From him being entombed, living among the graves, to being an evangelist, preaching the gospel. But can I say the majority is us in our daily walk, renewing our minds, submitting ourselves, letting his peace rule in our hearts and lives. Can I say to you this morning, his life became an advert for the wonderful counselor. Your changed life becomes God's best advert. Oh, doesn't want to move anymore. Anyhow, okay. He is wonderful as the Word working together with the Spirit. He is wonderful in linking together with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Bible says in 1 John 1:1-2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, Jesus. And then the Word was made flesh, he dwelt among us. Jesus was the Word, but then also together with the Holy Spirit. And it's important for us to understand that. There's two scriptures that I'm wanting to give to you. It's not on the screen there. It's in John chapter 14, verse 16 to 18. John chapter 14, 16 to 18. Listen to this. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. I want to read it again. It's so profound. Jesus said in John 14, verse 16 to 18, I will ask the Father, and he will give another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. John 15, 26, when the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, will testify about me. Why is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, so important? Firstly, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, helps you discern the lies of the devil that we have believed, that has held us captive and stayed in a shrunk position. The Holy Spirit helps you to discern the difference between facts and feelings, and says, no, acknowledge the facts, acknowledge the feelings, but believe the truth of what I say. See, the truth does not change, because truth is eternal. Truth is who Jesus is. And all your feelings, your facts, they all have to submit to the truth of who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit wants to spotlight and highlight the truths that we need to believe, receive, and action in our lives. There's a wonderful portion of Scripture that I'd like us to turn to in the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first three verses. Psalm chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 1 to 3. David said, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, the ungodly, those who don't know Jesus, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Don't know about you, but I'd like to live that psalm. But it's interesting where it says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk, stand, or sit and ungodly counsel. Notice the progression down from walking to standing to sitting. Can I say to you this morning, be careful who you walk with, who you stand with, and who you sit with. Make sure that it's lined up with Scripture, otherwise you're going to fall and not be fruitful. But your delight is in the law of the Lord, and meditating in it day and night. Can I say to you this morning, church, I want to so strongly encourage a call back to what does the Bible say about my life, about my situation, and what does He want me to do? Can I say there's too much of what do you feel? What do you think? Nowhere does Jesus, wonderful counselor, say, what do you feel? What do you think? He says, no, my word will help you out of your predicament as you look to me. And it's a journey. It's a process. Whether it's anger, can I say there are tons of verses in the Bible that help you to deal with the issue of anger. Begin to start looking at people in the Bible that struggled with anger. For example, Cain. Read the whole story. Familiarize yourself with it and say, I don't want to walk in the way of Cain. Some of you maybe struggle with rejection or depression or loneliness. Can I say to you this morning, begin to start digging deep and find out Job suffered with loneliness. People struggle with rejection. Find out what the Bible says about it. And then begin to say, I'm going to meditate on that day and night. And I'm going to embrace it into my life. And I want to walk in freedom and in liberty. What does the Bible say about my fears, unbelief, discouragement, how to raise children, what to do in my marriage? The Bible says so much about marriage, communication, husbands, how to love your wives, what the Bible says about sexual intimacy in the Bible. The Bible even speaks about that. Very clear in the Bible about purity before marriage and faithfulness in marriage, but then how to enjoy one another to its fullness. It's all in the Bible. But as we begin to dig deep and say, Lord, this is what I want to do. I want to embrace all of it and enjoy the fullness of it and grow in what you have. If you listen to the lies of the devil or worldly counsel, you regress. But as you begin to embrace the Scripture and Jesus as the wonderful counselor, you'll progress into freedom. Can I say to you this morning, I believe there are specialist counselors that are gifted and anointed and called by God that I acknowledge and recognize. And there's numbers of you in this congregation, and I release you to go for it, working in team together. Shirley and others have got teams, and we're available to help. But can I say, each and every one of you, as ministers of the new covenant, are competent to counsel one another with the Scriptures. We need to be able to take the words of God and say, this is what the Bible says about your unique situation. This is what the Scriptures teach. If you mix faith with it, you'll be amazed at what Jesus can do as a wonderful counselor. Can I encourage you this morning, in your counseling, and it comes to the opposite gender, if it's in a public place, encourage them, but never in private. It's a very dangerous thing because you're dishonoring marriage and you're opening the door wide to the devil. Can I say the enemy preys on people that where there's counseling in private of the opposite sex is a dangerous, dangerous thing. My spiritual father, mentor, that lectured me at Bible college 30 plus years ago, that all that I learned about marriage and counseling, everything, years after 30-something years of ministry, he fell morally. He violated the very instructions that he taught us at Bible college. And he fell. Divorced today, out of ministry. So devastated me, I had to go see an enlarger. His name was Art. He was an elder at a church in Hout Bay. Psychologist, Christian guy. We sat at the Mug and Bean at the waterfront. I said, Art, inside, I am broken and bust. My earthly dad, when I was 10, ducked and left. Never saw him for 24 years. Now my spiritual dad, who coached me and mentored me in everything I know, has done what he's done. And he began just half an hour, 45 minutes, we went through Scriptures, prayed together in the Mug and Bean. I said, Lord Jesus, wonderful counselor, I choose to believe that. I receive that, and I'm going to action that, and I'm going to walk forward. can I say, things happen that are out of our control. But God's word is our compass to get us back on course and back on track. Can I say to you this morning, healing comes when we live in community relationally with one another. Can I say to you this morning, the Bible calls it the body of Christ, the church. I'm part of Johnny and Sam's life group and I love it and I so look forward to Wednesday night. I go there, I'm mutually blessed and enjoy the rich, cool fellowship and friendship that are there. Everybody ought to be in a life group. I'm counseled and encouraged and strengthened by all the different things that people share and bring. You need to belong to a community where you can be cared for, discipled and shepherded. Can I say to you this morning, never seek counsel to get permission to do anything. That is not biblical. You get counsel to seek perspective. If you need to get permission, that's control and manipulation. I need to say that again. Because people sometimes come and say, "Oh, Wally, what do I got to do here? What counsel? Well, what must I do?" I say, "I can't tell you what to do. I can tell you what the Scripture says. And then you need to make the call and the decision." That's biblical counsel. Be careful of those that everything you do, you've got to run by them. That's not biblical. That's not scriptural. That's called control and manipulation. It's a fine line there. We need to be aware of that. You need to take personal ownership of your own spiritual health, growth, and well-being. Don't blame anybody else for the hole you're in. You can't change the past, but you can have a brighter future in Christ by faith as you look to the wonderful Counselor. Can I say to you this morning, if you know that you're in an abusive situation, whether it's verbal abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, you are no longer a victim, but a volunteer. If you know that you're in that position and you choose to stay there, you're a volunteer, not a victim anymore. Can I say you need to get out? You need to seek help and counsel. You have a free will and the power of choice. You cannot determine what happens on the outside of you, but you can determine what happens inside of you. You have a free will and the power of choice. Whatever is outside of your free will, His sovereign will and grace will overshadow that and empower you. That's the beauty of grace and God's sovereign will. Sometimes things happen that are totally outside of your control and your will, but that's when God's sovereign will and His empowering grace will help you through. David, you're aware of David, King David in the Bible. How many of you know he had some issues in his life? Besides the adultery of Bathsheba, he had a rebellious son, Absalom, wanted to coup and take his throne, and then he had children out of wedlock. His life was a mess, but you know what? How he ended was well. And he was said, a man after God's own heart. I don't know if the scripture is going to come up, but to me it's one of my favorite. David said this in Psalm 119, verse 24, "Your statutes are my delight, they are my counselors." In other words, God's statute, His laws, His commands, His decrees. David said, they are my delight, they are my counselors. Can I say, David in the Psalms speaks about the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Psalm 23, He wants to restore your soul. Your soul doesn't have to stay broken or messed up. Can I say, give Him all the pieces? I want to conclude. I want to encourage those that have internal challenges and difficulties. The first thing you need to do is not get hold of Shirley or the counseling teams or this or that. You need to book a few free faith hour sessions with a wonderful counselor. I want to say, you need to say, "Lord," and you'll say, "I'm free," whenever you've got an hour or two. Don't rush through the sessions. You need to get on the couch and say, "Lord, take me from the couch to your throne to overcome this thing." Don't stay on the couch. Move towards the throne. The other day, I was just saying, Lord, I'm struggling with the weight and the pressure of things. Lord, thank you that you're the one that carries the yoke and the burden, the weight. I said, Lord, who in the scriptures can I relate to? It was just in a flash, I was reminded of Moses. And he had 3 million people. And eventually I said, sorry, Lord, for a little whinge. But sometimes you didn't know what to do. You're trying to help people find employment. You're trying to help people find accommodation. You have a fixed car. Somebody said, where do you go? What to do? And the little whinge, the Lord responded with grace. Can I say to you this morning, He'll respond with grace as you begin to say, Lord, let your statutes be my counselor. Can I say, God wants your changed life to become His best advert as He counsels you. And somebody might say, oh, Wally, my story is horrific. Can I say, then you're still struggling with the shame of it. And you need to find deeper healing. Because if He's dealt with it and ministered grace to you, you can tell it. Imagine the madman of the Gadareans coming up and saying, you know that guy that you've heard about in the tombs who cuts himself with chains? Guess what? I'm he. I'm the guy. But I met Jesus, the wonderful counselor, and I'm completely free. That's what He wants to do. Whether it's bringing you out of legalism or whatever it is. You know that song we were singing earlier? He cleans me whiter than snow. Whew, that verse just struck me. And I said, Lord, how white? And the whisper response was, so white do I clean you that it blinds the enemy. I said, wow, Lord. You know when you sometimes are driving and a guy puts his bright lights and you, for a moment you just caught off? When He cleanses you and washes you, that's what your life looks as you walk forward. And the enemy says, oh, the lights, the lights. But he can't do anything because light is advancing. When you look to Jesus, the wonderful counselor. I'm through this morning. But I believe He wants us to start a process in your life. And you've got to make a booking with a wonderful counselor. A good few sessions. Whether you're struggling with lust, whether you're struggling with different addictions, nothing's too big. He wants to show you He's the mighty liberator and deliverer.
For regular updates and more information about Life Changes Church, please visit our website www.lifechanges.org.za. The Lord bless you.